Good morning. This is Reverend Judith Laxer, and today's service is entitled A Change of Heart.
All right, my friends. So for those of you who have been attending these worship services for a while, you know that the signature way that I work with the music is to weave it into rather than bookend the teaching of the service. The songs have to pertain to and support the theme, and my process is to create themes that apply to where we are on the wheel of the year, and then seek out songs that work for that particular theme. So when Pam and I sit down to talk music, we do the same thing, and the themes and the musical selections stem from that conversation. When we talk about the service for this month, Pam suggested we do a service on happiness, which certainly works for the season of spring. And she had a few songs that we could use. We're always looking for new songs, and they're great songs, as you'll hear shortly. And the more I thought about the theme of happiness, the more I wasn't sure about it, which was kind of interesting, actually. And that is because happiness is an emotion that is elicited by something that happens. A happenstance makes us happy. As you can now see and hear, the root of that word hap, which means good fortune, or a pleasant state of being brought about by chance. So this got me to thinking that really what would be best to talk about is how to create that state of being, not contingent on chance or the fickle winds of fortune, on how we can become happy regardless of what's going on around us, or at least lift our hearts. So essentially, we're talking about a change of heart. Et voila, the theme presented itself. And that made both Pam and I very happy. So at this time on the pagan wheel of the year, we find ourselves in maturing springtime. And spring makes us happy and lifts our spirits after the long, dark winter. And after a cold season of limited color in the landscape, we can't help but feel relief when we see the yellows and the purples of crocuses and the daffodils and a spectrum of color on the primroses. Mother Nature, with her unconditional love, comes through for us again. Growth rises to the surface, trees are budding, some are already flowering. And we approach the vernal equinox, the 24-hour period of equal day and equal night. This year it's on March 20th at 9:57 a.m. when the sun goes into Aries. And we know when we get there that we are entering into the light half of the year, the half when the days are longer than the nights, which makes most of us very happy. Since we are sun worshippers, that's a very happy thought. If you keep a garden like I do, it's also a very happy thought, because now we can get our hands in the dirt and commune with Mother Nature in a very direct way, instead of just whimpering up the window. It's natural for us to experience a change of heart at this time because nature is doing her thing and that makes us happy. We will revel in the sunlight, we'll admire the flora, we will look forward to the coming months of longer days and warmer temps. And we also know that this is only, at the same time, we know this is only for that one half of the solar year. And whether we like it or not, we will reach the autumnal equinox. And enter the dark half of the wheel again before we know it. So it's up to us to cultivate more than just our gardens. We must learn to cultivate ways to bring about a change of heart that isn't contingent on the externals, because our emotional state is most often directly related to the external world. If it's a nice day outside, we either love it or we resent it. If we have to go to work, we can't be out in it. If someone locks us up, we feel great. If someone is critical, we feel lousy. If our team wins, we are euphoric. Our emotions hinge on what happens in the external world that we cannot control. No matter how hard we try. We cannot control what other people are going to do, no matter how many requests we make, no matter how much we want to. Goodness knows we can barely control ourselves. So having our well-being contingent on something we have no control over is not a very good idea. It's not a good plan for living. We live in a very busy world, a very fast world, a world that has many, many distractions. And our Western culture is very future-oriented, right? Technology speeds us forward toward the future. We want to be on the cutting edge of everything because whoever gets there fastest wins. We set goals we wish to reach into our future, and then we often push ourselves toward those goals at all costs, no matter what else is going on. Now, there's nothing wrong with setting goals, so do not get me wrong. But what I'm saying is that when we pin our happiness solely on the accomplishment of those goals, it can be dangerous. First, because what if we don't accomplish that goal? And secondly, because it keeps pushing our happiness out into the future, and it robs us of our happiness in the present moment. It goes without saying that life, the process of living, we are going to encounter the good as well as the bad, the easy as well as the difficult. Often, we don't have time, at the time, to heal the wounds that life might serve up. Sometimes it takes time even to realize that we have become wounded. Sometimes it takes a while for us to even recognize the nature of that wound. And so a part of ourself, a part of our psyche, a part of our consciousness stays in our past, nursing that wound. Then we create platforms for our wounds upon which we will stand in the future. And we form judgments to justify our platforms. And in this way, no matter how much we want to move forward, to move on, to move away from what has not been right in our past, we stay stuck there. And then we tell ourselves that once something changes, we'll be better. Once this person starts treating me with respect, I'll be happy. Oh, once I land that perfect job, I'll be happy. Once I recover from this disease, I'll be happy. So between constantly looking ahead to where we want to be, and in so many ways remaining stuck where we have been, it doesn't leave much time for us to stay in the present moment. It doesn't give us much practice in staying in the moment. The truth is that there are really very few actual moments themselves that are difficult to endure. But when we spend our time dreading them, we prolong what is difficult. When we dwell on what has been difficult, we prolong that experience. The difficult moments themselves, when you think about them, are probably few and far between. The present moment is where all change occurs. We can think, for example, I shouldn't have eaten that gluten. Or, starting tomorrow, I'm never going to eat gluten again. But it's in the moment, right when we're about to shove that donut in our mouth, that we have the power to make that change. All the regrets about yesterday and all the promises about tomorrow are not going to make the changes we want. They can only make us feel badly or hopeful, but they don't actually create the changes we want. The present moment is the realm in which all change occurs. And then if we stick to it, then they start to build. And before we know it, we've got anything. If we can stay present in the moment, we can put down that donut before it touches our lips. If we stay present in the moment, we can walk away from an abusive situation before we incur another wound. If we stay present in the moment, we will make better choices and increase our ability to heal and be whole. What would our lives be like if we thought we were perfect, just as we are right now, in this very moment? Okay, maybe not perfect, but just fine. And certainly good enough. What if we didn't think there was anything wrong with us? Whoa. How might we live? Or what if we came to accept that we are always going to be learning and growing and improving? That's the way of it. And that way is perfect, so that each moment is exactly as it should be, and there's nothing wrong here. I think if we stop waiting for something else to happen to feel happy, something external to happen, something that we can't control, we'd be so much better off. We simply must stop waiting to be happy and bring ourselves fully into present time.
To be happy, I won't put it.
Suggestions. In addition to staying in the moment as much as possible, many experts, I don't know, the capital T, on emotional health and well-being say that the happiest people are those who engage consistently in helping others. People who work toward the betterment of the world, whose vision encompasses more than just their own personal wants and desires. Because when we engage in a vision that spans beyond our personal lives, we feel we have a purpose here, we're on purpose. And at the end of the day, or rather, at the end of our lives, when we look at what we did while we were here, we will be most satisfied if we spent our lives involved in something that mattered to more than just ourselves. If we spent our lives involved in the betterment of others, if we've made a difference. And there are plenty of big picture visions to contribute to, plenty of ways we can contribute to the betterment of the world. And when we do engage in this way, it's political. Did she just say that word? The dictionary tells us that politics is the profession devoted to governing and derives from the Latin politicus, meaning statesman, or person so involved in the governance of populations. We derive the word polite from this word, which we now rather derisively call political correctness. But originally it meant a way of communicating that took people's feelings into account. To be polite is to be refined, polished, as it were. We also find the root of the word politics in the suffix of the word metropolis. In this instance, metro refers to a measurement, and polis means city, so it's a place where many people live, a metropolis. Now, I know that the word politics is heavily charged, because we've come to know politics as manipulation. And if any of you got as caught up in the program House of Cards as I did, you know exactly what I'm talking about. As the manipulation that those in government implement in an attempt to get their way, and we don't trust it. Right? We hear politics and up we go. It doesn't take much to see how the once interested in truly serving the populace get into the dysfunction of the system and unfortunately shift toward any means for either their personal security or gain, and often at the expense of those that they swore to serve to begin with. But in the true sense of the word, a political process is one in which the greater good is at the core, which is the reason for the process to begin with. But we don't need to be professional politicians to act politically. We just have to remember that we're not separate from one another, that we're all connected. If we are, as Gandhi said, to be the change we wish to see in the world, then every action we take, because it affects others, is a political act. Everything we buy and the things we refuse to buy, everything we eat and the things we refuse to eat, everything we use and the things we refuse to use is a political act. And if you think who you are and what you do doesn't make a difference in the world, then I ask you to watch that classic film, It's a Wonderful Life, once more, in which George Bailey learns how his life is worth living when he gets a chance to see how life would be like without him. Now, I watch that movie every December, and it makes me cry every single time. Okay, I'm a sad, that's true, but still, it is such a beautiful allegory, one of which all of us need to be reminded that even when we feel like life is really happening out there, right, and we're missing it, everybody else is having a great time. Oh, look on Facebook. Everybody's blessed about everything. Our lives are always happening right here. And how we live by the choices we make determine the quality of our lives. So back to being political. Our personal politics are demonstrated in every action we take. When the actions we take stem from the strongest force in the world, which we all know is love, we can't help but take care of people. When we love, and when we are loving, and when our actions spring forth from a loving place, and since we are therefore and always involved in the political process, then love will drive our politics. We are involved in a political process whether we are loving beings or not. I mean, just look at what's going on around the world. It's not all loving action, but if we are going to consciously choose, why not choose love? I mean, why not? Why not choose to engage with the strongest force we know? Why not choose to demonstrate our innate ability to love, to soothe and heal, and have a change of heart to become loving? I can't think of one reason why not. So let's take a moment now, if you would, close your eyes and go within. Breathe deeply, reconnect with your grounding core from the beginning of a service, and if you came in after we created our sacred space, go ahead and ground yourself now. And then bring your attention up to your third eye in the center of your forehead. Imagine it like an actual eye, like your other two, and then open it up and look out and find that you are looking into the deepest corner of your own heart. And there, in the deepest corner, is a place that you have been keeping under wraps because of how much it hurts. You have placed this pain in the deepest corner, the furthest away from your consciousness, because this is where it feels safest in hiding, almost as if you're hiding this pain from yourself. But in the safety of this sanctuary, in the company of all these loving people, you feel you can go there now, right there, to the pain in the depths of your heart. So do so now and discover and uncover and find that pain. Ah, yes, here it is. And you've been carrying this pain in your heart for so long now, it feels like it's become a part of who you are. So think of what this pain has caused you to become, what this pain has contributed to your understanding of the world. Take a moment and determine that now. Determine how this pain has helped form the person you have become. And now ponder this. Who would you be without that pain? If this hurt, this long-time wound was no longer there, if your heart was free of it, who would you be? How would you be? What would be different in your world if your heart changed and you no longer held this pain? Imagine who you would be and how you would live if your life were liberated and free. Take another deep breath. And now imagine that there is a bridge between who you are now because of this deep pain in your heart and the person you just imagined yourself to be without it. There's a bridge between the two of you. Imagine this bridge, see what it's made of, how it looks, how long it is, and also what it feels like under your feet, because now you find you are walking across the bridge to the other side, to the side where you are the person you imagined yourself to be, who has had a change of heart and is now free. Keep walking across this bridge in your consciousness until you meet up and become that person. It's like you're walking into yourself and inhabiting yourself in a completely new way. Feel that blessed freedom in your heart. It feels like your heart has expanded, actually, like it's bigger. And you know that can only mean your capacity to love has increased. And you know that means you will be engaged and engaging with more love in everything you do and are and have. And then gently let that image fade. Take another deep breath and come back to the sanctuary space here with the rest of us. The idea that love is political makes me happy. It makes me happy because we know how to love, and we love loving, and we can't help loving because love is not rational and we can't dictate it. We can't make ourselves love something we don't, and we cannot not love something that we do. The thought that we don't have to go into politics to have a political effect is also a very happy thought. Love just makes us happy. Loving makes us happy. Feeling love from others makes us happy. We can have a really bad day and then feel love, and amazingly, it's not so bad. Love causes a change of heart all the time, and that's because love is political.
Everybody, we can.
culture being so future-oriented, it's also quite accelerated. And I've talked about this before here. I was talking with some friends about how fast time is flying, you know, and how time seems to be speeding up. One of them said, that's because we're getting older, and of course I loved hearing that. Since our time here grows shorter, it seems like it's going faster. We remarked on how we were, when we were kids, you know, summer just stretched out forever. Now, wow, it's gone before we know it. But then another said that he believed that time was actually speeding up as the universe expands, that the universe is expanding faster and faster, and so here we go. And that led to a whole other conversation, as you can imagine, but the concept of time speeding up is not really all that unreasonable. And I think the combination of uncontrolled population growth, creating critical mass, and the development of so much technology are in part at the core of this acceleration. And I marvel once again at how our technology, which is supposed to save us time, is really robbing us of it. 2 weeks ago, in typical Mercury retrograde fashion, the modem on my home computer blew, and I couldn't get on the internet. By 9 a.m., I had accomplished so much, I couldn't believe it. I'd made the bed, had breakfast, washed the dishes, taken a shower, dried my hair, all in the same time it usually takes me to check email, scroll through Facebook, watching about 3 to 5 minute, you know, videos on nothing important at all. This cute cat, that, you know, which fairy are you in the, the whole day stretched out in front of me, all because I was completely unplugged from the computer. It's just amazing, and it's an important reminder of what eats up our time. We think when we speed up, we're saving time. Hurry up with this and we have more time for that. But that is not how it works. Hurry up with this and all you do is get stressed out. When we slow things down, I mean, really slow them down, we have more time. When I have more time, I relax. When I relax, I find it easy to have a change of heart towards something way more pleasant to feel. The truth is, perspective is a choice. We can choose. We can choose to see the cup half full or half empty. I recommend choosing to see it half full, of course. This is part of counting our blessings, which is the single best spiritual practice I have still ever encountered. When I'm feeling sorrowful, or less than, or frustrated with how things are going, or impatient with how I've been sick for 2 weeks now, the one sure way I know I can have a change of heart is to count my blessings. The wheel of the year is a cycle, and we travel it with each journey around the sun. The cyclical nature of this wheel reminds us that there will be a light time and a dark time, there will be warm times and cold times, abundant times and foul. Because we have traveled this wheel a few times already, we can rely on our experience and take comfort in knowing that no matter how bad something is, it won't last forever. And no matter how good something is, it won't last forever either, for that matter. But either way, we want the journey to last a while. So we need to be counter to everything our culture is teaching us about how fast we need to be and defy it completely. We need to cultivate a slower pace of living, to stretch time by slowing down. We all know how much better we feel when we release the pressure of adhering to time constraints. We feel better when we take it slowly.
Everybody is a part of it.
That was so lovely. Happiness runs in a circular motion, putters like a little boat upon the sea. What a lovely metaphor. Happiness is the little boat that will be tossed this way and that on the sea of life, but in any given moment, it will still be puttering around as we travel the cycle of life. So may the groovy boat on the sea of your life carry you along surely on this journey. May love be your fuel, and may it open and change your heart. May love heal your heart and make you brave so you can love unashamed and freely. May the season of spring bring beauty and growth, and may we find our way of being in happy service for the good of all and with harm to none. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
All right, thank you. So we're going to open up the floor now to our community prayers. If you have a prayer that you'd like to speak out, feel free to do so loud and clear. When you're finished, say blessed be so we know you're done, and we'll move on to the next person.
I'd like to offer a prayer for my friend John Taylor, who passed away a few days ago. John, we really love you and we miss you a lot. You're much loved. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
I'd like to offer a prayer to Dr. Bersendahl, who just passed away 4 or 5 days ago. I'd like to send him love and light. Blessed be.
Blessed be.